Hello. Thank you for downloading this sermon by Pastor Casey Halenchek. Casey is a missionary pastor with Village Missions. Currently, Casey and his wife Hope and their six children serve the Bangor Community Church and the surrounding area of Bangor, California. Village Missions exist to glorify Jesus Christ by developing spiritually vital community churches in rural North America. We now invite you to open your Bibles and journey with us.
Hey guys, Pastor Casey here. This was the second of 3 weeks that I am going to be out of the pulpit. In addition to separately posting the sermon we heard here in Bangor on Sunday morning, I thought I'd throw up another throwback sermon. This is the second in our series through Romans, Romans 1, verses 8 through 15. God bless and enjoy. Good morning. Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles to Romans chapter 1. And we took a look last week at the background of this letter that Paul wrote to the Roman church. And we looked at the historical importance of the book of Romans, how God used this letter to save some of the most important people in Christian history. We see Paul introduce himself and the gospel to the church of Rome and really start to open up the different themes that he's going to look at during this book. He introduces the theme that the gospel is all that matters. It is the most important thing. The gospel itself is simple, it's concise, it's direct, it's clear, and it's true. The application for many of our lives, however, is a big foggy mess of I don't know, and that doesn't make sense to me. And so Paul's not only going to focus on the gospel itself, and he is going to show the importance and the vitalness of that, but he's going to show how that works itself out as well. We know that it can be confusing, it can be tricky, it can be these different things, but at the same time, God's word can also be very clear. And God's word will only mean one thing, but it can be applied in many different ways for many different people. And so as we look at these next chunk of verses, Paul is going to start to show a few of the applications of the gospel and God's calling in our lives. So I'd love for you guys to follow along in your Bibles. If you do not own a Bible, I did put some Bibles on the back table back there that you can go ahead and grab and take with you. I am going to be reading out of the English Standard Version. We're going to be looking at verses 8 through 15 today, starting with verses 8 through 12. So Paul writes, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." And so Paul starts this section. He's telling the church that he is always praying for them, that he is thanking God for the entire church in Rome. Paul, of course, is a praying man, as we see through his letters. We see through many of his letters that he will often encourage the readers of his letters. He will often bring them and let them know that he is praying for them often, that he is keeping them in his prayers and encouraging them that way. Two real quick examples of this, Philippians 1, verses 3 through 5, he writes, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." And then in Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through the first part of verse 5, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven." So those are two examples of this, and Paul does this often. He encourages the people that he's writing to. He's not afraid to call it like he sees it, and he's not afraid Read through the beginning of Galatians especially. He's not afraid to call out sin and to call out people when they are wrong, when they need to change how they're living, what they're doing, how they're acting. He's clear on those things. But we see also that Paul is not afraid to let people know that they are being prayed for, that they are a blessing, that they are an encouragement to him, and he wants to be an encouragement to them as well. He's not afraid to encourage those that need and deserve the encouragement. There are many things that we will see throughout this letter that the church in Rome isn't doing quite right. Maybe more accurately, that they don't understand or fully put into practice. And Paul will let them know those things. But here at the very beginning of the letter, his focus is building them up, showing and telling them what they are doing well and how they are being a blessing. Paul tells them that he wants to encourage them because of their faith that is proclaimed in all the world. Again, this is a common thread in his encouragements to the Philippians and the Colossian church that we just looked at. Their faith, their work in sharing and spreading the gospel, the love that they have for their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. These are things that are right, and they are encouraged by Paul when he sees these things. Keep this up. Continue to do this. This is an encouragement. You are doing right in this. And he follows that. And he shows them what his prayer is for them, in addition to thanking God for all of them, in addition to encouraging them to continue to do what they're doing in those regards, he has another prayer for them. And that prayer is that, Paul knows that this prayer will also, in and of itself, encourage the church in Rome. And Paul says that his constant prayer is that it will be God's will that he will be able to come to Rome and meet them. Now, Paul's prayers are filled with this principle right here, that our wants, that our thoughts, that our desires, that they are submitted to God's will. Period. End of story. Paul wanted with all his heart to go to Rome and to meet the church there. But we see another example back in the book of Acts in chapter 16. Paul wanted to go into Asia to spread the gospel. The Holy Spirit prevented him from doing so. So Paul listened to that. So far, the Holy Spirit has prevented Paul from going to Rome. Now, eventually, Paul would be arrested. He would be put on trial. He would end up being sent to Rome so that his appeal would be heard by Caesar. So Paul would eventually get to Rome. Not how he thought he would. Not in the way that he expected. But how the Holy Spirit ended up working it out. And part of the point here is that Paul is not going to force what the Holy Spirit is not allowing. He was praying that God's will would change. He was praying that the opportunity would present itself and the Holy Spirit would allow him to go to Rome. But he was not going to force and move ahead where the Holy Spirit was not allowing. He wasn't praying for God to take away his desire to go to Rome. He had this earnest and he felt God-given desire for this. But he wasn't going to make it happen until God let him make it happen. Can we honestly say the same thing in our prayer life? Can we truly say that we are doing that? That we are submitting ourselves, our desires, our wants, our will, that we are submitting that to God's will? Are we going and moving and acting when he says to? And maybe even harder, are we not moving and not going and not acting when he says not to? I know that I'm not able to make that claim as much as I should be. I know that it's hard when we get this idea, sometimes right and sometimes not, that God said that this is something that we are supposed to move towards, that this is what we are supposed to do. The easy thing is to put your head down and charge ahead. And sometimes that's what he's calling us to do. Sometimes he's planting that desire for later. Sometimes he's planting that for us to share with others and for somebody else to then pick up the ball, for us to plant the seeds, so to speak, as Paul will lay out in other regards, or maybe to water the seeds in other people. We need to be able to discern what is God telling us to do and what is he telling us not to do. Now, part of the reason that Paul wants to go to Rome and meet this church is that he wants to give them a gift. Not a physical gift, not a here, I have a present for you, but a spiritual gift. And not a spiritual gift like we think of it, not the kind that is doled out to each of us individually by the Holy Spirit, but instead that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. That is why Paul wants to go to Rome. That is his desire for the Roman church, that they can get together and they can mutually encourage each other based off their faith. Genuine fellowship of believers, honest life and talk and meals and spending time together, honest love among fellow brothers and sisters in Christ should manifest itself in building each other up and encouragement. This is a command for us. This is not optional. This is what we are told to do. And not only for us, not only for each other, though that shows the most immediate and clear applications, but this is also told to us so that we could be a testimony of the church to the world around us. Jesus says in John 13:35, he says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." The easy question that I'll ask, it's an easy question for me to ask, is how I should say that. Who have you been an encouragement to today? Another way of phrasing it, who have you been a blessing to? Now, I know it's easy to get wrapped up in our own stuff, especially Sunday mornings. You know, Sunday mornings are crazy. They're hectic. They're busy. With five kids, I know things are going on, and I'm not always as focused as I should be. But it's a question that we need to start asking ourselves on a constant basis. Are we being a blessing and encouragement to the people around us this morning? And it's real easy, too, Sundays especially, to just show up, to just come on in, to just sit on down, to just be a part of things, to be thinking, what am I going to get out of the service this morning? That's a very real part of human nature, to just not think about it. If we don't think about encouraging and blessing people, we're not going to. And so it's real easy for that to slip out of our minds. It's real easy to justify, even if we do think about it, to justify our lack of encouraging behavior. We often justify it by thinking something along the lines of, well, no one encouraged me this morning, so why would I encourage anybody else? And even as I say that, you know that's the wrong way of thinking. You know that's not what Christ is calling us to. But it's human nature that's an easy thing to fall back on, especially if we're not being intentional, especially if we're not being purposeful and we're not thinking about it or we're wrapped up in other things. When we come through these doors on Sunday morning, our heart is supposed to be to worship and lift up God, period. And with that, how that plays out, how that application is there, is manifesting itself in the love for one another, the encouragement and the blessing to one another, the discipleship, the things that we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. Those are the things that show our heart for God. Those are the things that show that we are focused on what He has for us as opposed to what we have for us. And we know we can't control anyone else. We can't control what each other does. I can't control any one of you, how you act, what your attitudes are, what your different things are. You can't control me in that way. We can't do that to each other. All we can do is control our own actions. We can control our own responses to the situations around us. And our job, each and every one of us individually, our job is to do what God told us to do. Our God is not to wait for others to do what God told them to do. And that means that even if you're the only one doing it, even if you're the only one obeying God, you need to obey God. You know, the good news is that if you're the only one doing it, you're not going to be the only one doing it for long. It spreads. It's contagious. And we know that. Attitudes, good and bad, submissive and non-submissive to God, those attitudes are contagious and they spread. And so it's, again, we need to be intentional and purposeful about that being our main focus when we come in here. Remember, the truth is the truth, even if no one believes it. The same thing, right along those same lines, the right thing is the right thing, even if no one is doing it. Just because no one's doing it doesn't make it different. And sometimes also, we ourselves, we need to be reminded. You know, as I said earlier, it's easy to get wrapped up in the things that are going on in our lives. Legitimate things. You know, the trials, the circumstances, the good, the bad, the calms, the storms, the mountains, the valleys, all of that can so very easily distract us from our purpose when we walk through these doors. Some of the times, it's, you know, sent for those different situations are sent by God for our sanctification, and it's our human nature that distracts us. Other times, these are things that are thrown into our lives by the enemy with the very purpose of distracting us. Most often, it's the first one. Our human nature is able to trip up and fall enough. Satan often doesn't need to work very hard to bring that about. But with all the different things in life that's going on, it's real easy to need a reminder. It's real easy to need something to shake us out of our walk in here and say, hey, remember that we are here for God. We are here to submit to Him, to show love to Him, to encourage and build each other up. We need that reminder sometimes. But think about that. If we need that reminder, so do the rest of us. It's not always just individually coming back at us. If you need that reminder every once in a while to be an encouragement and to be a blessing, others around you need that reminder as well. You know what the best reminder is? To remind them to be a blessing? Be a blessing to them. Show them that love. Again, it spreads. It's contagious. It will then work itself out, and you won't be the only one doing it. God says we are to be an encouragement to each other, to build each other up, and He says that that will manifest itself in the true, genuine fellowship with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. That's not all that Paul says here, though. We'll go ahead and read verses 13 through 15 of Romans chapter 1. Paul continues, and he says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Paul reminds us that there is a second calling that we are all given. This is in addition to the call to build each other up, to encourage each other. This is a second application of what it is to love God and to submit to Him. There are unsaved people all around, people that don't know and love the saving grace of Jesus Christ, both within the church and outside of the church. People who have not heard the gospel in some instances, people who do not know the true gospel in some instances, people who have not responded to the saving invitation of the true gospel in all instances. So what Paul says here, he wants to harvest. That's the way he uses it to talk to win souls is basically what it is, to have people know and respond to the invitation of the gospel. He wants to harvest from both inside and outside the church. He knows that any time there is a church building and there is a gathering, there are people that are going to be in there that don't know Christ. Church attendance, parents and grandparents taking you to church as a kid, being a good moral person, fighting for charity or justice or religious freedoms or people's rights, those things are wonderful things that don't save you. They are wonderful things that we should strive to, submitting to the will of God and knowing the love and salvation of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the only thing that can save us. And Paul shows that he is not called to withhold the true gospel from anyone. It doesn't matter what their background is. We are not called to withhold the gospel from anyone. We are not called to withhold no matter a race or language or creed or sexual orientation or country of origin or side of town they're from or amount of kids or age or personal background. Everybody needs the gospel. No one is exempt from our call to share the gospel. Gospel goes out to all, period. One of the phrases that Paul uses here is that he is to bring the gospel to both the wise and the foolish. The language harkens back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. He says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so when the world, when society and culture sees here the around us, they hear the gospel, when you try to explain it, even the simplified version, like 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8, Paul writes, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then all the apostles, and last of all, to one untimely born, he also appeared to me. Simple gospel. But society hears that, and it's understandable that if you have not responded to that, that it sounds silly. It sounds foolish. Is that really what we believe? That somebody came down from heaven, that they died and came back to life, that these things happened? Yeah, we do. And we have historical proof, we have faith, we have all these different things to show why that is what it is. But we don't know that. We can't see that until God lifts the veil from our hearts, until he opens our eyes, until the Holy Spirit changes us and takes up residence inside us. That's when it starts to make sense. The more we read, the more we study, the more we spend time with and listen to God after that, the more sense that it makes. And there will always be things that we don't quite understand, things that we just have to take on faith that don't make sense to us, even in our maturing walk. We will always have questions. Some will be because of our own human limitations, some from our aforementioned human distractedness, and some because God has chosen not to reveal certain things to us. He's God. He gets to make that choice. The other thing we see in Scripture, partnered with natural human distractedness, is that we forget. We forget basically everything, and we forget it often. We need to be constantly reminded of just about everything. Nothing more important and clearly than the gospel itself. We see in the Old Testament, for example, the cycle of Israel. They worship and follow the Lord. The Lord blesses them. Things go well. People then forget to follow the Lord, oftentimes because of the blessing and things going well. And they turn away from him. They follow the ways of the people around them. They descend into sin, apostasy, and essentially self-destruction. They remember God and they turn back to him. God accepts them back, and the cycle starts over. Jesus is continually teaching and then reteaching his disciples because they either don't understand or they forget. Paul tells us, I don't know how many times throughout his letters to the readers, that they are to remember what they have been previously taught. He's continually reminding them. The first verse is here in Romans. He shares the gospel to a group of believers because they need to be reminded, because we all need to be reminded. And as Paul is saying that all of you, the Roman church, believers or not, just to all of us here today, believers or not, we all need to hear the gospel again and again and again and again and again. It's our human nature to forget, to get distracted, to take our minds off of the focus and the important thing. And that's what we see throughout Scripture, is that we need to continually be turning back. Martin Luther says, and he uses repentance as his thing, but it goes for all of our life in Scripture and submitting to God. But he says repentance is a Christian's life is one of continual repentance. It's not a one-time act. Nothing in our walk with God, other than salvation itself, is a one-time act. We have to continually be looking, continually be turning, continually be reminding ourselves that we all need to continue to learn the gospel, period. So Paul fits quite a bit into these few verses. He writes it, and this, as I said the first week, this letter is a dense letter. There's a lot going on. He packs a whole lot into it, and it takes a while to unpack a lot of that. But he packs a lot into these verses. Our faith should be proclaimed in all the world. We need to encourage each other. We need to take the gospel to all, both inside and outside the church. And even as believers, we need to constantly and purposely remember the gospel and how that is supposed to play out in our lives. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you that you give us this reminder, that you know our hearts, that you know our minds, that you know our faults, and our human nature, and that you strive continually to bring us closer and closer and closer to you, to conform us to the image of your Son. Pray that you help us to be purposeful, to be intentional about remembering your gospel, to remembering the sacrifice, Jesus Christ, that you made for us, to save us from our sins, to save us from eternity separated from you, that you gave us eternal life in you. We thank you for that, and we pray that you continue our walk, that we are able to grow and mature in you, that we are able to study in you, and that this book makes more and more sense every day as we live our lives, that we are able to play those out. We just thank you for all the blessings that you've poured out on us. Amen.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Bangor Community Church. You can find us at facebook.com/BANGOR Community Church CA, all one word. If you would like to connect with Pastor Casey, please hop on over to caseyhalenchek.com. That's CaseyHolenchek.com. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you again for listening and joining us on our journey through God's Word. If you've listened this far and believe in our ministry or us as a family, please consider partnering with us. We would be honored to know that you are praying with and for us. If you feel compelled to give through financial support, information on how and where to give can be found at caseyhalenchek.com/giving. Thank you and God bless.